You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. So, Coach Lori Ann Munzer joins us. Lori Ann, welcome back. How are you doing?
Doing awesome. Happy summer.
Yeah, it's good. It's flown by. It's almost like, I don't really like to call it fall until October, because officially it isn't fall until, I think, September 22nd or something like that.
It's still
summer. Weather's been fantastic. It's been a great end to the summer. A few things I want to talk about. We had David Owens talked about it yesterday on our show, but Ellie Hoskins from BC, she was the first ever Canadian to win a stage at the World Mountain Bike Championship, and then she actually won another one, and then she actually won the whole thing.
Holy smokes!
Have you ever done mountain, like legit, like hardcore mountain biking?
I have. I have done the Grundig World Cup mountain biking in Mont Saint Anne in Quebec.
Okay,
and it was absolutely crazy. It was just, it's hard. It's really hard. I mean, we've had a number of really great mountain bikers. I'm thinking of Marie-Hélène Prémont in 2004. I think she silver medaled. It's tougher than nails.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like the control, and you're going downhill, the tight corners, it's completely different than obviously the type of cycling you did.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And then I think the thing is too, like you're going through rocks, you're going over, I don't know what you call it, things. You're having to do some drops. I don't know how big the drops are, but I'm tapping out. That's not for me.
I'm tapping out. I want my tires on the track at all times.
Well, the thing is, I like to know what surface I'm riding on. Like if you ride on the pavement and it's wet, you know what it's going to do. But the mountain biking, you have really no idea. It's really how you respond. How do you react to it? And how quick can you react to it versus, you know, kissing the ground? You know, you've got wood chips, you've got boulders, you've got crushed rocks, that sort of thing. You have everything. And then if it rains, then it's like even double gnarly. And yeah, it's wild.
So I want to talk about, so Connor McDavid spoke today, to Available by the Order for the first time. And, you know, he addressed, hey, you know what? I can't just make a decision on the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 years of my life. It's something you have a lot of conversations back and forth, him and his wife, his family, his team, whatever. It was his other response when he said, well, you know what? Someone asked him if he thinks it'll be a distraction. He says, hey, if you can't perform because someone's asking you about, you know, your teammate's contract or your own contract, you're in the wrong business. Right. And so, because I think people, they're going to get distracted. I'm like, how would a question on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, for instance, impact you playing a game on Thursday night? Like, there's really no correlation here. So, now some players do have admitted that they don't play well when they start thinking about their contract, right? At McDavid's, I don't think he's not worried about getting a new contract. So it's probably different than a guy who's like, God, I really hope I get a contract. So I think maybe in that regard, it is different. But what'd you make of that comment? And, you know, because obviously it's an area you specialize in, you know, the mental focus for athletes.
Well, there's a couple of things here, Jason. Is number one, he already has an idea of what it is that he's going to do. He has a team, you know, he and his wife are talking. So number one, there's that. Then there's the public side of it too, is because if something's in the works, how much do you say? How much do you not say? What do you say? When do you say it? There's going to be that dynamic on it. The other thing is with the public, we get to spend 23 hours and 59 minutes thinking about it, talking about it. He has a job to do. He's a professional athlete. So he's going to compartmentalize the ask, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to roll it out? And then he's going to go and he's going to do his job. He's going to play his game. He's going to do his training. And there's a time to think about it. There's a time not to focus on it. He has obviously got a strong mindset to be able to do it, because he goes out and he plays at that elite level. A new athlete or a rookie athlete sitting on the bubble, am I going to get cut? Am I going to get the contract? Is learning how to navigate that part. So there's going to be a few other dynamics on it, but really you have to train your dragon, and that's your brain. Because if you don't train your brain and control it where you want it to go, its default is to take you down that slippery slope of going, oh, what if I don't get it? What if I get cut tomorrow? How's that going to impact? And then you start getting 25 steps ahead of yourself where you don't really need to. All you need to do is focus in the moment. when am I going to talk about it, or when am I going to think about it? And then when am I going to go train? When am I going to go race? Or when am I going to go play? And
so how do you train your brain then to focus on the now, not focus on the quote distractions or things that are in a lot of cases out of your control?
Number one is focus on being present. You can probably see that a lot of people, they're not present. They're thinking about their grocery list. They're thinking about what they're going to do on the weekend. On Friday, you can feel it coming. On Monday, they're already back on the weekend that they had. So it's number one about your breath. That is one of the fastest ways is to come back and be centered, is where are you breathing? I used to breathe just like below my chin and above my collarbone, and it was really short and shallow. That's bad.
Okay.
That is usually a sign of stress. I've noticed it in athletes, and I notice it with me when I start to get stressed. The breathing gets really shallow and short. So if you can start to maybe get a stance or a seated position and start to take full breaths, it's about 2 or 3 seconds in, 2 or 3 seconds out. Do it 3, 5, 7 times, and you're going to start to shut down that fight or flight nervousness that starts to pick up, or your mind wandering. And then it's, can you focus on just one thing, on what one person is saying, or one thing that you're working on that you're wanting to finish, but maybe there's 3 other phones ringing, or, you know, email, the ping is going off. And it's just, can you bring your mind to think about one thing? The other thing is, get a sheet of paper and brain dump. Take everything out of your head. So, you know, write your grocery list, write what you've got to do, maybe somebody you forgot to call, everything that you have, because number one, you don't have to carry it anymore. You go, oh, great. And then you can make semblance of order. I can do, you know, the grocery list on the way from home. Great, that's taken care of. I need to call my boss. I need to have a 10-minute call before I leave work today. And it puts it into order, because when there's chaos, that's when, you know, the monkey mind takes over and you're just not present. So when you've got a picture that you can go, oh, I can control this, or I can move these spots around, these events or appointments, it brings back the calmness. You think about monks meditating, and it's like a mini meditation, but it just gets you from being off track to being back on track.
So, and I want to ask this now, because there's lots of people listening whose son or daughters are maybe going through trials right now. Mm-hmm. And what's the worst thing a parent can say to their kid in trials?
Oh my gosh. The worst thing they can do is harp on the child.
Yeah.
Number one, just ask them, what do they need? How do you want this to go? Is there something you want me to do? Otherwise, I'm just going to sit, observe, stand, observe. If you need something, then I'll come into the picture. But the best part for parents is let the kids go and do what they're going to do, because you can't really control it. You can really screw them up with your comments or your suggestions, or you can be their biggest cheerleader and wait for them to come to you to go, hey, I need this, mom, or I need this, dad, or I forgot my equipment, or what do I do in this situation? And it's just be there, be present for them without telling them what to do. More ask them.
Yeah, because I would, you know, sometimes you can, you know, kids can build it up a little bit more. And really, and I think that when the kids say, oh, you know what, I'm a little bit nervous, there's right answers and wrong answers, right? The right, yeah. It's okay to be nervous. That's okay.
Oh, absolutely. There's good nervousness, and then there's nervous bad, and then there's nervous excitement, which is part of the good energy. And the other thing I think parents can ask their child or their young athlete is this in your control, or is this out of your control? Like, what can you control right now? And again, it comes back to being present. You know, are they playing runaway mind, or are they able to be in the moment and also play and enjoy the moment?
Yeah, well, I think it is. It's one sometimes, it's like the parents sometimes get caught up without even knowing it, that they want it more. They're like, well, I don't want my son or daughter to be disappointed because they won't make a team.
Yeah.
Well, but they're, a lot of times the disappointment is they think they're going to disappoint you. So exactly. If you're like, I'm happy wherever you play. I just want you to have fun.
Totally. Right?
That takes, I think, a lot of the angst, though, because a lot of times, because I watch tryouts and I see it sometimes, and you see the kids are looking up in the crowd, and I'm like, that is the number one, like, parents, if your kid looks in the crowd, don't look away, like, you pretend you're not watching, because, you know, if they're always looking, up in the crowd to get instant reaction. They're not focusing.
No, exactly. And sometimes, too, if your child is looking at you, you're in the stance, give them the thumbs up and just go give them the, what do you call this this move here? The A-OK signal. And it's just, hey, just let them do what they're going to do and let them understand that they're in charge. And, yeah, they're going to make mistakes, but they're also going to learn really quick. And number one, go have fun. You've done the work or you're trying out something new. And go play. Go be a kid. Have fun. That's what it's all about. That's the root.
Now, I know you work with a lot of young kids because it's almost a skill in how to get better at a tryout. Just like some people, they get a real nervousness when they write exams and tests and they struggle with it, even though they know all the answers, getting the tests, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I can't remember. I'm psyching myself out. Yeah. Kids, even when you come to try out, doesn't matter what level you're trying out for, the double A team, maybe the triple A team, maybe the tier one team, whatever the tryout is, high school basketball team, there's only one, you're trying out, that you have a limited time to make an impression, right? Yes. And it's hard for some people because they think too big rather than stay. So what's the advice for how kids can get better at not getting overwhelmed during a tryout or leading up to a tryout?
Yeah, to not get overwhelmed is sit and close your eyes and run through the event or the move or the drill that you're going to be doing and run through it successfully. See yourself doing it maybe from a 30,000 foot view or you through your eyes and seeing it successfully. Because number one, when you do it successfully, you're starting to create those new neural pathways. And if you fire them together, they're going to build stronger and stronger and stronger. And of course, everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to go, oh, I'm going to play this game and I'm going to lose. They never say that. But when you're trying your best is, have you seen yourself, like in a movie, running through it successfully? And if you hit the wall where it doesn't go really well, is stop the movie, rewind it, literally, and then run through that segment until it is successful. And that's where I start with the younger athletes of how do you bring in the mindset, the mental imagery? Because there's a feeling of going, oh, this is going to be great. And then there's going to be the feeling of, oh, my God, we're done. We're cooked even before we start. So when you start that little by little, you may do the first, 10 meters or 20 meters or 40 meters. And you break it down into small little steps versus, like you said at the start, is, oh, you look for the big picture. And it's like, you can't do it. Of course you can't do it. You haven't done it successfully the whole way. So make it into little steps.
Lorianne, great stuff. We appreciate it. Have yourself an awesome weekend, and we'll chat with you next Friday.
You too. Thanks, Jason.
That is Lorianne Munzer joins us every Friday here on Sports 1440.